Hello and welcome to Wellness Works with Centria of Eddie's Wellness and Resource Center. And this month is Mental Health Awareness Month. And with that in mind, today we've decided to go in a whole nother direction and talk about ways that we can relieve stress and improve our mental health by travel. So our guest today is Mr. Claude Davenport. Hello, Claude. How are you?
I'm doing great, Cynthia. How are you?
Good. And I just want to remind our guests that they can reach us on Facebook. I'm at Eddie's Wellness and Resource Center, Centria S. Dorsey, LMT, or just Centria S. Dorsey on Facebook. You can inbox at any time. And Claude, how can they reach you on Facebook?
You can reach me on Facebook at Claude Davenport. And you can also reach me at Davenport Lifestyle as well.
Okay. And do you also have a phone number that you allow people to reach you at, or do you only use?
Cell phone number 301-710-8579. If you feel more comfortable sending an email, you can send an email to davenportcl@yahoo.com.
Okay. And so, Mr. Davenport, so I met you about 6 months ago now, roughly.
Yes.
And we were having a conversation about travel and the benefits. And can you tell us some of the places that you've been recently and that you would suggest that others try to venture to?
Sure. Recently, I've been in the States. I've actually gone to Miami a few times, Nevada. We also recently came back from Tennessee and Kansas as well. Outside of the States, we have a trip coming up in August to go to Cancun. We've also been to Nueva Vallarta, Mexico. We are booking trips for West Africa and South Africa in 2019 as well.
Of
the places that we've visited were amazing. The experiences that we had there were great. Anywhere, any of those places are awesome. But I have a bucket list of over 11 destinations. I mean, over 100 destinations that I would really want to visit. So.
Wow. Okay. So you haven't begun to scratch the surface of where you'd like to travel to. So recently, my husband was telling me that one of his guests, and he's a massage therapist, as you may remember, was evidently like one of the world's most traveled women. Like she had been to like 195 countries. Or destinations so far, and
wow.
We still have a few more to travel to. What would make someone, in your opinion, say, you know what? I know I'm not only going to write out this bucket list, but I'm actually going to start today, and I'm going to start here, and I'm going to end up at 195 by this time. Like, what would inspire or motivate someone to take on that form of travel venture?
It usually starts with time. When people realize how short life really is, they want to see more of the world that was created for them. And I find that when you have the travel itch is what I call it, after you do your first, after you do your first travel or your first destination, your first bucket list destination, your bucket list will actually grow. And it's more so because you get that one out of the way and you realize how simple it was to either plan or get acclimated to the environment, the new environment that you're in, and you love it. So you want to do it more often. And you want to have more experiences, experience different cultures and things like that. So it kind of starts when you start to realize how much time, how short of a time you actually have here on Earth. I find that that's really the number one thing. And that also people want to have a lot more fun.
Okay. So fun and mortality, that is a big gap in reasons, but they both make a great deal of sense. Do you find that travel bug generally with the people you've interacted with started with maybe a spring trip vacation, maybe on a college level, or do you find that it starts earlier or later in life, generally speaking?
I find that it starts earlier in life. And the people that I've had conversations with and that I've met from all different places around the world, it kind of starts around the age of, I would say, averaging about teenage years, so 13, 14, 15, places where you really think about, like, I really want to go there, I really want to see this. And from there, it blossoms when you get in, when you get more so in your 20s and 30s. And usually people pull the trigger and actually go to those places. The majority of people actually go to those places in their late 30s, early 40s.
Okay. Now, again, this month it has been labeled as Mental Health Awareness Month, and I know that we've all probably encountered someone who has had some type of challenge with their mental health in our families or just friends or associates or maybe even people that we work with on a regular basis may have that challenge. How can travel assist with that, and what does it look like for a person going through the travel process? Can you walk us through that, like when you decide to take a trip and when you get done, and how that whole process may be therapeutic, and what are some of the challenges that a person may face? They're trying to alleviate stress, but what are some of the stresses they may encounter when planning, and how can they overcome those to enjoy their trip?
Sure. So I'll just kind of speak from my personal experience. So I've become a part of a, I guess you can call it a club of travelers. And the way that we travel is to eliminate a lot of stress that is associated with travel. One, the biggest stressor in travel is expectations versus reality. When you believe that, first you take out and you figure out exactly where you want to go. After you figure out where you want to go, now you have to, in typical cases, now you have to go about all of the planning. What are we going to do? What are we going to eat? What does transportation look like? And things like that. And that can be a stress itself. But when you get to your destination, if you're not the one that's planning it, it's very little stress. But once you get to your destination, it's like a sigh of relief. So what you can do to actually relieve that stress is talk to people who you know that travels a lot. Most of the time, they've already did a lot of that planning that usually stresses people out. Or you can be a part of a club like I am, where you don't have to worry about any planning. And it's 4- and 5-star experiences, things that you really can't put a price tag on as far as the experience that you have when you travel. And that relieves a lot of stress in traveling. But overall, once you get to your destination, it's usually sigh of relief is stress-free.
Okay. So what would that look like for you? Like, let's just take us through you preparing for a trip, you're arriving at your destination, and then returning home.
Sure. Usually, anyone who goes on vacation, and let's just say most people go, I think the average is 4 days. Your vacation usually, even though it's 4 days, it usually lasts about 3 weeks. And I'll explain why. So after you plan out where you're going to go, the week prior to you going on vacation, it's the only thing that you're thinking about. I don't care what type of job you have. I don't care what type of lifestyle you have. Before you go on vacation that week before, it's the only thing that you're thinking about. You're counting down the days so that you can go on vacation. And then, of course, you have the time frame that you're on vacation, so call that an additional week. So that's 2 weeks there. And then after you return from your vacation, everyone wants to know how your vacation went. So now you're reliving all of those exciting moments that you just had on your vacation for an additional week. So what that does, and kind of going back to stress, what that does as far as stress relief, if you can 3 weeks out of a month relive and get excited over something that you've recently done as far as travel and things like that and the experiences that you have, that relieves a lot of stress there in itself, because you only have 1 week in a month that you're really thinking about other things besides just sheer enjoyment of life. So
okay.
For me, yeah, for me, what it looks like when I prepare to go on a trip, I pick out a destination. I might pick out a destination based on, I'm a foodie, so I like food. So I might pick out a destination based off of the food that's in the culture, a food that I might have tasted down here. I actually live in West Virginia, which is Martinsburg, West Virginia. So we're a little south of Hagerstown, which is in Western Maryland. But I might try something here at a German restaurant or Italian restaurant or something and want to know what it actually tastes like if I was there. So I actually would go there and I would try the food. I would just kind of pick a category, I guess, sporting events, serenity trips, spa trips, kind of whatever I'm in the mood to do, the destination. Press click on a button, and everything else is taken care of. I don't have to worry about transportation. I don't have to worry about if it's going to be a good experience or not. And I just have fun. I arrive there, and every single time that I've arrived at my destination, I have never had to carry my bags to my room. I'm always sitting by the pool with great service. And when I come back home, I wish that I could have stayed longer.
Yes.
That's usually my
experience. That's how you know it was a good trip.
Exactly. Yeah, my wife and I went to Nueva Vallarta last year, and she cried before she went because she didn't want to leave our kids. And she was kind of pouty, and then she got there, had an amazing time, but then cried on the way back because she didn't want to leave. So that's usually what happens.
Okay. So it sounds like a big part of stress relief, I should say, or avoiding travel stress, is in setting up that planning piece ahead of time and or having someone to assist you with that planning process so that everything is taken care of. You know, we all like to live that way as if we all were independently wealthy and have that experience every time that we do venture out to different places, especially if we're traveling abroad. And then with that, I would encourage everyone, please get your passports.
Yes.
difficult to travel without them. Even if you're going on a cruise, it's in your best interest to have your passport. I don't care if they leave from your local area. it's still in your best interest, because the worst thing that can happen, I mean, you can replace that passport. It may be a couple extra dollars, but it would be horrible for you to lose your birth certificate out there because you didn't have this additional piece of information that you're supposed to carry with you on and off that
Absolutely.
Ship. So we want to try to avoid being stuck in the places we're just going to visit. So how often do you run across people and they're talking about going abroad, somewhere they like to visit, and they haven't even considered the passport? And then are you aware of how many? I've heard there are two different kinds of passports. Are you familiar with that, and do you know anything about that, or do we just have to defer to the local post office?
Well, I've come across people who definitely have put some thought into the passport aspect, and I would say it's kind of 50-50. Some people mm-hmm. don't know that they need a passport because they've never traveled, and they really want to. And they have a list mm-hmm. of things where they want to go. But because they've never traveled, mm-hmm. they don't know about the passport. They don't know about shots that you have to get in order for you to go in and out of certain countries and things mm-hmm. like that. So what I do when I meet people who want to travel but don't have, I guess, the basic travel knowledge, I just kind of educate them as much as I possibly can. Mm-hmm. But there are some people who definitely have a passport. And I was very surprised to see how many people actually had a passport when they were younger and let it expire.
Mm.
Now, that number of people is really, that's a really big percentage. They might have had it when they were in their 20s or 30s when they were planning on traveling, but then mm-hmm. for whatever reason didn't travel. It could have been money, couldn't get off of work, started a family. A lot of different reasons why, but a lot of people actually let their passports expire. So make sure that it's up to date when you go, even though you might have one, definitely check the date on it. So,
okay. And how long do they last once you have one? How many years before you have to renew
10
it?
10 years. You have 10 years.
10 years.
So you have plenty of travel time.
Mm-hmm. And what is the current cost of a passport?
I'm not mistaken, the current cost is $120 for your passport.
Okay.
So if you break that down, it's $12 a year.
Which is nothing in the grand scheme of things. Okay.
Exactly.
And how much is it to renew?
Now, that I don't know because I have not renewed mine mm-hmm. yet. I'll be renewing mine in 3 years, but I'm not sure. I don't think it's the same cost. I think it's actually maybe half. I think it's $70, I believe, but don't quote me on that. Definitely get in contact with the post office.
Okay. I will say that when I got mine, it was around $150, but that was because I also needed my photos done.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did the photos also along with the package. But there and again, like you said, it's 10 years. So $15 a year to mm-hmm. be able to travel wherever I want, whenever
yeah.
I want. That is a very, very minute investment. So I think that people should really consider that.
Definitely. $15, that's three Starbucks coffees.
Right.
It's a no-brainer.
So, or two, depending on what you get, the size of you get.
Yeah, wouldn't be right.
So easy. So where have you been that stuck out in your mind the most? Like, you know, which place did you go to that just captivated you, and how long were you there?
It had to be the Merival for me. So it was Nuevo Vallarta of Mexico, and the reason it stuck out for me was because once I planned that I wanted to go there, the reason I picked it is because there was a resort that was there that my wife and I really wanted to experience. It's called the Miraval Luxury Residences. The rooms there are amazing. The smallest room is 1,400 square feet, all-inclusive everything, top shelf everything. And that's where we wanted to go. But I was really amazed at how many of my friends and family, when I told them where I was going, the first thing that they thought was, oh, be careful, it's Mexico. Or, oh, be careful going out of the country. And when we actually arrived, when we arrived at the airport, we walked outside. There's actually a gentleman that was waiting there with our names on, like, the little cue cards for us to for our transportation. They took us to the resort. Once they took us to the resort, they grabbed our bags, told us to go sit by the pool and enjoy ourselves, and they would call us when our rooms were ready. So in about 20 minutes, they came with these wristbands saying that we that allowed us access to the entire property. So they have two properties. One is the residences, which is the condos or the luxury condos. And the other side is their sister resort, which is the Miraval Resort. So that's just kind of like hotel rooms versus condos. But the weather, the water, the sand, I mean, they had birds that I've never seen before, plants that I've never seen before, people, cultures. One guy that we met, he's actually the head concierge at the Miraval. We created a friendship with him because, when we first got there, everything that we needed, he took care of. And so we struck up a conversation over dinner one day and got to know him and his wife and got them to start traveling more. So they actually just came back from Europe, a trip that they've been planning for over 10 years, and couldn't go. So we actually showed them some of the things that we did in order to go to the Miraval, and he took full advantage of that and went to Europe.
Okay, that's awesome. And being able to have that experience and share it with someone, you basically renew their interest in what they had originally thought that they would like to do. So it's always awesome to find different ways to be able to encourage and motivate people to do the things that are on their heart. It gives them a reason to not be burdened down and
exactly.
to... take the opportunity to make time for themselves, because when we're looking at mental health, we're just talking about taking care of yourself. A lot of times people aren't born with issues. A lot of the issues that people are experiencing are created issues right now because of the way that our system is set up. We are the only culture, as far as I've been reading, that works the way that we do. Every other culture that I've read upon right now, like, they make time for their people to have adequate vacation time, to have adequate downtime during the course of the workday. And we're just like, okay, the harder I can go, the more I can go, the more I can get in my, and it's not always, you're not always building your pocket. Like, you're literally building
Absolutely.
Somebody else's pocket most of the time. So you're not even putting in all this blood, sweat, and tears really for yourself. You're doing it for whatever corporation that you are working for. And then when you're done, you're all wore out and there's no time for you. So really it sounds like travel is a way to self-medicate in a good way and allow your body to relax and let the endorphins kick in, renew that childlike energy, and go into play. Adults forget to play. Like, we need to play too.
Absolutely.
And I think that we really forget that. So, I mean, how you choose to play is up to you, but we need to remember to take time to play also, just cut loose responsibly.
Absolutely.
So, what other suggestions do you have for the people that are listening right now or may listen later to help maybe guide them and any questions that they might have when they do interact with you later on?
Sure. I've met people who have no idea what they want to do or where they want to go or how they want their life to be. And one thing that I know to be factual is that if you don't know the answers to those questions, you'll just take whatever comes around or comes about. You'll take the scraps, so to say. A lot of people feel as though to travel and to have the types of experiences that they dream about, that it's going to either take a lot of time that they think they don't have, or it's going to take a lot of money, which they know they don't have. What we've done is shown people how to essentially earn those vacations, that those dream of vacations that they really want. And we show you how to do that based off of things that you're currently doing. If you like going out to eat, great. Go out and eat, earn a vacation. If you like to go and shop, great. Go shop and earn a vacation. So instead of you paying maybe, I don't know what the retail price are for some of these trips anymore, but instead of you paying retail, you're paying below wholesale because you're doing everything that you love doing anyway, and you're getting rewarded for it in the form of going on your bucket list items.
Okay. So what Claude is referencing to is the travel group that he is a part of. And I have joined that travel group also because me and my husband, like, we have that travel bug. We do want to travel more. We do want our quality of life to supersede the things that we do on a daily basis, because one supports the other. So when we get a good rest, we're able to go out here and hit the ground running and continue to be a support and be an encouragement and help other people mend themselves physically and mentally and, you know, and emotionally and all of that. So I do encourage you guys to follow up. If you have any questions of me afterwards, you guys know you can inbox me and I will point you in the right direction because that is what we do at Eddie's Wellness and Resource Center. The resources are everything else that is not massage. So Claude is a resource. So if you need to relax and get away, be sure to inbox him. Help you so you can help others and continue to do the good work that we all do on a regular basis. The other thing that I had come across, Claude, was it was said that the optimal vacation should last around 10 days. What do you think of that assessment?
I think that that is a fair assessment. I think that 10 days, depending on the activities that you're doing, would be great. So that kind of gives you an opportunity to have a lot of fun, but then also gives you maybe a day or two to recoup before you come back home. The one thing you don't want to do is go on vacation and pack something that should be 10 days into 5 days, and then you come back home and you're more exhausted than when you left. So,
and that is the experience I think most of us have had on a more regular basis. We have not had a vacation. You need a vacation from our vacation when we get back from the vacation, which makes no sense at all.
So when you go on vacation, try not to do more than one activity a day. And what classifies as an activity is anything that you have to walk more than a mile, that's an activity. So even if it's maybe walking through shops, like you're going shopping, if you have to walk more than a mile, that counts as an activity. Mm-hmm. That means that if you go shopping during the day, don't go ziplining in the evening. You're gonna be exhausted. And that'll give you an idea of how many days you need to be in that location. So if you want to go shopping, ziplining, get on ATVs, snowboarding, or wakeboarding, that's four different days right there. So on those four different days, you need a day to get there, so that's five, and you need 1 to 2 days to recoup, so that's 6 or 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I look at it. Here in the United States, typically, you get 2 weeks vacation time, which is not enough vacation time, honestly. I know from traveling the world, I know for a fact that not the best end of the stick.
Right.
But I know people from Australia who get an entire month. They get 30 days to take what they call a holiday. It's not a vacation to them. It's a holiday.
Wow.
And they get 30 days. But on top of that, I know other cultures who don't work 8 hours a day. They work six. They work five.
Right.
And when they, for us here, when we take a lunch break, it's usually, if we're lucky, we get an hour. In most cases, you're getting a half an hour. You cannot have a proper lunch
session.
Yeah.
Right.
You cannot properly eat something in a half an hour. It's not possible.
Right.
Because you should be able to enjoy what you're eating, but more importantly, you should be able to have a conversation with other people while you're eating. So a friend of mine actually lives in Italy, and when they actually go to lunch, they get 2.5 hours, so half an hour for travel time, and then they literally go to almost the same place every day, which is his grandmother's house. And they actually prepare lunch. They actually sit there and prepare lunch. Everybody comes, everybody helps prepare lunch, sit down, eat lunch, then everybody goes back to work. 2.5 hours.
Wow.
So what that does is that it doesn't make it feel like you're working during the day. It's just like, oh, this is something that I do to earn money, but it's not anything where you're coming home and you're exhausted and the only thing that you want to do is lay on the couch and watch TV. It's like
not interact with your family.
Yeah, exactly, because you're too tired or because you're mentally exhausted. And that's a big thing, mental exhaustion. Whenever you think too much, then you can become mentally exhausted. And you can be thinking about things that you should not be thinking about. If you're making, I call it life decisions, when you're getting gas, that's not something that you should be thinking about. You shouldn't be thinking, oh man, should I fill up my tank today and spend $50 or $60 and I don't get paid until next week, and then I might not have enough money to get food for the rest of the week? Like, those are things that you shouldn't be even thinking. Like, that shouldn't even be a concept. But the fact that that might hit home with more than a few people, there's something wrong in that system. And I think that there is something wrong in the system as far as our work and our jobs and things like that, because a lot of people that go to work right now that work maybe 2 or 3 jobs, they're doing 2 and 3 jobs that they have no passion around whatsoever.
Exactly.
But if they had just one job where they were passionate about, it wouldn't feel like a job. It wouldn't feel like work.
Right. Right.
It'd be something that they would enjoy while they were there. So, yeah. But I'll step down off my soapbox now.
Oh, no. That's a great soapbox. I mean, really, just the whole concept of I can go to lunch, and going to lunch means I can honestly spend time with my grand, and we're going to sit down and make lunch together, me and my grand, you know, and then I'll go back to work and finish the day.
Mm-hmm.
That is so freeing, and that is should not be novel, but it is for where we live and where we are. And that explains a lot to me. Like, people are always talking about, well, this region tends to live longer, but they still eat certain things that we eat, and yada, yada, yada. You know, there's a whole nother topic we can go into with food, as you know,
mm-hmm.
and quality of food in
yeah.
different places. But that aside, that's why they live longer, because they're spending time together. They're communicating. People that aren't around other people tend to develop issues. When you don't have touch, you develop issues, period.
Yeah,
it's known.
Exactly. We are a community people. Like, we want to be around other people. If you've ever seen or ever heard of someone starting a community or starting an organization,
mm-hmm.
it started with one person, but
mm-hmm.
the entire time their goal was to have more people, because we
right.
want to be around more people. That's fulfilling to us.
Right.
And when we can't do that, you get added stress, depression, and a whole bunch of other stuff. But kind of going back to the food aspect, our bodies are wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
What our bodies have the ability to do is remarkable. So one thing that you have to think of, and we were talking about like a half an hour lunch, if I have 2 hours to eat my food, that means that I am taking my time, I'm chewing
mm-hmm.
properly, I'm
mm-hmm.
grinding up my food before I swallow it, so it's going down in smaller pieces, which is easier
mm-hmm.
for my body to break up, versus taking
right.
2 or 3 or 4 or 5 bites of a burger because I have to hurry up and get back to work.
Right.
So, yeah, we can both eat burgers, but if I have 2 hours to eat it and you only have a half an hour to eat it, at the end of the day, I am going to look like I'm healthier because I'm giving my body time to digest the food, but also
mm-hmm.
I'm helping my body out by grinding the food up longer and having it digest more. And then on top of that, other cultures do a lot more walking than we do. I mean, like 2 and 3 miles a day is nothing to some cultures.
Right.
5 and 6 miles is nothing for some cultures.
Right.
But here, it's like if you find more than, I say, between the ages of 20, when people start working, probably 22 to 35-ish, it's
mm-hmm.
probably 1 out of every 10 people, maybe 1 or 2 out of every 10 people, that actually walk more than 3 miles a day.
Right. And it was funny you should mention that, because I remember when I was in college, I was asking one of my professors, and I was a physical education major, and she was a dance instructor, but she said, every morning I walk. And I was like, well, how far do you walk? She was like, every morning I'll walk 3 miles. And I'm like, okay. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
and she was an older lady, like late 60s. She probably was passing on 70 and just didn't want to tell anybody. But here's this older lady, like, she walks 3 miles every morning. And then she has an active lifestyle because she's a dancer. She's a dance teacher. Like, she still was literally dancing. She wasn't just pointing out things to us. She was demonstrating what she wanted us to do, how she wanted us to do it, and at what tempo she wanted us to do it. And then she would step back and watch us and critique us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But because activity is so different between cultures, what else have you noticed in your travels? As far as people are concerned and interactions between people are concerned, are we way more alike than we are different? And how is the media adding to or starting to assist with us understanding other cultures, breaking down language barriers just by understanding body language more or other forms of communications? Have you absorbed?
So that's a big topic to talk about. Let's kind of start with cultures and then media. So with the cultures, we are different. There are very mm-hmm. big differences when it comes to cultures.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the biggest things that I would say is different from the United States versus other cultures that I've been to and I've had the experience of is respect, mutual mm-hmm. respect,
mm-hmm.
and the willingness to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went to Mexico and I don't speak any other language besides English, I wanted to learn how to say different words while I was there, because I'm going to a place where they speak Spanish. So I didn't want to keep
right.
speaking English and nobody really could understand me. One day we had someone who was waiting on our room, and they would come and clean up and things like that. So I used my Google Translate and I asked her for exactly what I wanted for the room. But I asked her in Spanish, when I asked her in Spanish, she left me a note. She read it in Spanish, but then left me a note in English. And
awesome.
The note pretty much said, I will do that for you and thank you. And just the willingness to do that, I don't see that in us. The other thing was when in media, the United States media portrays the United States media has an agenda. If things fit within mm-hmm. their agenda, then they will show it. If it does not, then they won't. For example, people believe that parts of Africa or Africa as a whole is nothing but dirt roads, right?
Mm-hmm.
And huts. There are parts of Africa that are more developed than parts of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Taller skyscrapers, more, the economy is a lot better. The people that are running it, there's a lot more diversity. There's a lot more gender equality. What else? Who else? Where else was it going? I think those are the two biggest things, like respect and the willingness to learn from other cultures is two of the biggest differences that I see when traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And how the media portrays other countries to us, but then also how this country portrays us to other parts of the world. So they make it seem like it's sunshine and rainbows all the time here, but me being from the United States, I know that that's not the truth.
Right.
But yeah, that's the biggest differences that I see as far as my travels. One thing that I did notice when I'm traveling, and I am a tall, big African-American male. And in the United States, when I walk down the street or I walk behind people or I walk around people who are not of my ethnicity in most cases, I feel a tension or a fear there.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually, whenever I feel that or I see that, the first thing I do is I open my mouth and I smile. So I might ask them, how are you? Or talk about the weather or something. And I would smile to kind of lower that defense or lower that tension. And going to other countries, like, people come up to me and ask me questions and want to find out more about who I am and what made me travel to their country and how I can get the best experience from their country. So, yeah.
That's interesting. Mhm. Wow. So that says a lot about what we need to take care of at home in general. Like I said, this is Mental Health Month, and everything that you just discussed is a great picture of what having mental health challenge or being indoctrinated with certain ideologies and how it can affect one's mental health. Because you're home, and people are anxious or nervous or afraid. But you go away and you're traveling, you're in another country, and they're excited and curious and wanting to embrace another human being and just get to know. And it just makes you say, okay, why is it okay that we have this breakdown here? And yes, they're projecting sunshine and rainbows to the other countries, but then when they come here, we aren't extending that friendly hand to those tourists like they do for us when we go to them. So we're really projecting a lie to them if that's not the experience that they're receiving when they get here. And that is so very unfortunate. So the other takeaway for me would be this then, that traveling actually is the best thing you can do, whether it's for vacation or just for knowledge, because it allows you to see how impactful people can be on each other in a positive way and how much we do need to come together in general. And everybody wants the same thing. Everybody's seeking the same thing. Everybody just wants to be loved. Everybody wants to have fun. Everybody wants to enjoy what they do for a living. And everyone is just trying to find their calling and their passion, regardless of where they live or where they are. And sometimes you have to travel in order to accomplish those tasks in your life. So it's wonderful if you can be met with open arms when you're doing that, as opposed to a side eye or a cold shoulder. So we need to work on our hospitality for everyone. I've heard about the individual instances where people have not had that experience, unfortunately, when they've gone abroad, males and females alike, where they've gotten more of a cold shoulder response for whatever reason. But overall, it seems to be more of what you've experienced. And I hope that continues. So I thank you so much for being on with us today. And I know that there were people listening because you guys were on my Facebook. So, again, remember to inbox us if you have any questions or concerns. I'll be meeting up with Mr. Davenport on the 14th in the evening. So I'll be putting out that information if you guys want to link up with us. sit down, have powwow, go over travel information, how to travel on a budget, because I do travel on a budget. And I enjoy myself thoroughly. So again, remember to inbox us for that information. And I thank you so much for being on today, Mr. Davenport. And I look forward to seeing you on Monday.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And just one thing before I go that I want to that I want to say. When it comes to traveling, if what I would ask is anyone who was ever thinking about traveling, but for some reason is hesitant around it, I want you to ask yourself this question. If time nor money was an issue, would you travel? If you won the lottery, you had millions of dollars in the bank, would you travel, and where would you go? So the answer in most cases is, yes, I would travel, and you have a few places that you would go. So let's have a conversation if that is true, and I can show you how to do just that without thinking that you, without you having to have millions of dollars to have the types of experiences that you really want.
Cool. All right, people, inbox Mr. Davenport, call Mr. Davenport. Mr. Davenport, can you give them your number again before you leave us?
Yes, cell phone number is 301-710-8579. For any reason, if I do not answer, just send me a text or leave me a voice message, and I will be sure to get back to you. And you can also email me at davenportcl@yahoo.com.
All right, Mr. Davenport, thank you so much for being on again. Thank you for helping me to merge travel and mental health, because it's such a important thing, and we've gotten to understand how travel can help us ease our minds as we go forward this month and this the rest of this year and going into next year, to look at travel differently, look at it as a one of the arsenals against mental health challenges. So, again, thank you, and I will see you on Monday.
Absolutely. Hope to.
Okay, and we have one more announcement before we go. And again, we will catch back up with Mr. Davenport on Monday. So everyone, be sure to inbox me or inbox him or give him a call if you have any information you need about travel. And again, it is Mental Health Awareness Month. We're listening to Over the Horizon. So if you find that soothing, just go online, download it if you need to unwind. If you see anyone look like they're struggling today, give them a smile, give them a hug. Let them know that they are loved, that they have a purpose, and encourage them to continue. Also, remember to direct them towards any of your local mental health crisis centers, and if that is the case, okay? And I look forward to seeing you next month. Well, next week. Next week, we will have Mr. Cornell Williams back on, so look forward to that. Remember, this is one of our fitness people, Mr. Cornell Williams with Bet You Sweat Fitness. Have a great day.